Right, let's open our Bibles tonight, brothers and sisters, going back into the Song of Songs, into the Song of Solomon. And again, we're so grateful to God that He brought us through last week, that end of the third chapter. How glorious! The rapture into His arms. I thank Jesus for this. We need to be encouraged, don't we? We're not very good in long suffering. But He does remind us from time to time so sweetly, honey, the glory that shall be revealed in you, I'm going to make it manifest. I'm going to make known to all that I have loved thee. Not only is it going to be worth it all, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what I've prepared for you because you love me. Hear it personally. Hear it individually. God help us tonight to really take this in. The Lord preaching to us this glorious gospel of the rapture of His bride some 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. Thanking God for this. He knew we needed this. Amen. I thank God again for how He substantiates His great love to us over and over. But this was the glory that shall be revealed in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Brothers and sisters, He's in us. He's for you. And He's ready to work this very power of His might fully in us, that we may grow up into Him in all things. And praise God, may we simply let God do it. Just let God do it. By faith, believe in His great love to us. That's the thing that will hold us back, is when we doubt His love. The only thing that will ever waylay us, brothers and sisters, when we don't look to the love of God. We've all been there. We've all had times in our life like that where maybe we thought we did something too evil, too wicked, too whatever it is. Maybe we're being pressed too hard, we think. But when we look to the love of God, the love that He is, the love that is for us, the love that He wants to have grown up in us, we do begin to understand this because the Holy Ghost makes it real to us. And what a comfort the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, brings to us. Because He takes the things of Christ, the things that you already have, because you've already been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, the things that you already have, and He shews them unto you. He makes them real. He lays them out. He says, now, honey, here's how He loves you. Let us count the ways. Boom, 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 boom. And it's all here. And it's all over and over again. And this stuff isn't a coincidence. This wasn't written for nothing. This was written for the something and the only something. It was written for you to be ready to marry Jesus. And I thank God for this and the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. I pray in Jesus' name that this just leap off these pages again tonight and sing to us, speak to us so individually. Again, Lord, awakening our heart. Because we need this awakening moment by moment. We know who we are, but for God, we really do. We know that we're not faithful. We know that we're slow to believe. But God. But God. And He'll do it. But what a revelation of love. As we read about this lover of our souls, He wears His heart completely on His sleeve. He makes His love fully known to you. You are my desire, you are mine. Apprehend me as I have always apprehended you. I thank God for this love He has. And what follows now is so appropriate. Because after we hear of this rapture, after we hear of, Lord, you're going to have us ruling and reigning jointly together with you. You're going to take us out of here. You're going to do all this. Well, the reason what follows is so appropriate because our minds begin to think and to say, well, how could that be me? How could this really be for me? This is too beyond me. He can't love me like that. And there will be a lot of those familiar friends that will tell you so. Just ask Job. It's the truth. You know that. They'll be laying in wait, those watchmen, to beat you up. But because he is all-knowing, he's going to take the time to emphasize to her, to emphasize to us, our beauty to him that he has ravished. He is ravished by us. Let's go ahead and read the first 7 verses of chapter 4. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David builded for an armory, wherein there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy 2 breasts are like 2 young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Now, as we begin here, I'd like to really note that we just read 8 qualities of her in 5 verses. The number 8, again, speaks of the bride, and 5 is obviously grace. Those qualities, praise be to God, all because of the grace of God. 7 of these things that we just read about her are about her body. 7, again, is the number of perfection, completeness. Grace has borne her a little Lord of all. How perfect the life of Christ is in every Christian. Isn't it wonderful? Praise the Lord. I thank God for that precious life, the perfect life of Jesus. But this sweet encouragement to us, she is a saint that is growing fully confident in the life of Christ, the life of Christ in her, the hope of glory. In Colossians 1:28, as Paul says, that we would present every man perfect in Christ. That word perfect, brothers and sisters, means complete, fully finished. We thank the Lord, fully grown. And God help us to really see the forest before we begin looking at the trees. She is perfect to him. He is just completely ravished with her. It's beyond. She is altogether lovely just like him. And these qualities that we're reading of here, even though they are physical descriptions, they're all symbolic types, allegories of her heart. We're going to read of the vision, the desire, the testimony, the meditation, the stand, and the fruit. All Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I so love this. How does he make known to her his love for her? He tells her. He lets her know right up front, honey, you're beautiful to me. You're absolutely, stunningly beautiful to me. See, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 3:19, God wants us more than anything to know the love of Christ. This is this encouragement here to this sweet woman, is how beautiful she is to him. She is all beautiful to him. And I think if us men would just really take that and learn from this, how wonderful it is to our spouse to make her know, to make her secure, in how beautiful she is to you. It's the truth, brothers and sisters. Take a lesson from the lover of lovers. He knows how to woo us. He knows how to captivate us. More importantly, he knows how to get us to respond fully. A woman wants to be loved. Husbands, love your wives. And I thank God that he encourages us to make her feel beautiful. and how and what a beyond ruby she will be. But he says to her here, "You are beautiful, my love. You are beautiful, my love." I thank God for this because immediately it begins with the double portion. I thank God again that this encouragement comes right off the bat. How many times we have studied and read now through the Song of Solomon and heard about the double, the repeating. I thank God again that he's so encouraging this in our lives. He immediately then says, "Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks." The dove speaks of the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians 1:18, it says that our eyes might be enlightened with the eyes of understanding. The reason we need the eyes enlightened with understanding, brothers and sisters, is we need a vision. Without a vision, the people perish. You understand this very well, and I do too. What happens with most Christians is they see only so much, and then it's kind of over. Well, I've attained to what I've attained. See, Paul encouraged us on all the way, even after he'd been seeking the Lord for over 30 years. He said, "I press, I reach for the prize, for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He went on. He never quit. He finally said at the very end, when the Lord had told him so specifically, "Paul, you're coming home. I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith." Hallelujah. It's so wonderful that he had finished his course, but it wasn't until that time, and I thank God that he gives us this precious truth that we abound in. But see, these eyes need to be enlightened. And matter of fact, these eyes of the dove, it even refers to a fountain. And you think about how the Holy Ghost is the one who takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in our hearts. See, without that love being shed abroad in our hearts, that's that fountain, that geyser of love going on in our heart, the vision will perish. And behind the locks is so wonderful here. This is not talking about hair, brothers and sisters. This is talking about beyond the veil. This means behind the veil. This is that wonderful vision beyond into the Holy of Holies. And you have to remember so much in the Old Testament, who were the ones that dwelt in the Holy of Holies? It was God and the cherubim. It was God and his bride. I praise God for this. See, the reason she captivates him is because of her vision. She sees him for what he is to her, and more importantly, what she is to him. Her dwelling is beyond the veil, the most intimate place, the Holy of Holies. Again, the place of the Holy Ghost, love shed abroad, worship. It's so important, brothers and sisters, for this infilling of the Holy Ghost in a life. Without it, we'll never see it. But with it, praise God, it opens the door. It brings us into that place where we can be enlightened to that complete vision, where, again, not just enlightened, but even more so illuminated, where we light up for him because of the continuing pouring in of the love story in our lives. That we can meditate upon it in our bed, even on a sick bed, even on a deathbed, can you imagine? And I learned that from so many as I testified of Brother Hill. I was so appreciative that time that I went to see him right before he was going to be with the Lord. So sick, fallen down in that hall. I think if it was anyone else, and not to magnify him, it was, "Could you help me up? I want to go to be with Jesus. Oh, I wish I could die right now." Lots of things you could think of. But all he could look up at me said, "Son, do you think he could come today?" That love, that intensity. God help us to be encouraged. That was the heart, again, not to compare, because there's nothing to compare. It's the heart of God. It's his own. It's his very own heart. It's that wonderful encouragement of the Spirit. It was that encouragement of Brother Paul as he wrote the joy book of the Bible in the depths of that dungeon. It was that place that he was shut up alone where, "My goodness, I don't even have a coat. I don't have anybody even visiting with me. But I'll tell you what, if you're coming, if you forget it all, remember to bring me the Word of God." Just bring me the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this encouragement. Thank you, Lord, that we're never alone. Thank you, Lord, that, again, we're never shooting blanks. Praise God, you have us fully loaded if we'll just take hold of it. But hear the hair as it goes on in verse 1. The woman's hair speaks of her glory. The woman's hair speaks of her covering. The woman's hair speaks of her submission to her husband. And this is not just any hair, brothers and sisters, but this is the hair like a flock of goats in Mount Gilead. So many things here. The goat hair was used to make the curtains for the tabernacle. Again, showing that you were set apart to God. That's what these goats represent, that there was a separation to God in that tabernacle. You see, these were particular goats as well. They weren't just any goats. These were the goats of the long-haired mountains of Gilead. And those goats happened to be the ones that were expert in climbing. These were the goats that could literally jump from crag to crag because they had hinds feet galore. As it said there in Psalm 18:33, He maketh my feet like hinds feet and sets me upon high places. This is this goat. This is this flock of goats. And I thank God how she appears. It says here, the hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. She's going to appear from a mount someday. Oh, yes, she is. As he took John upon that mount and he had his vision affixed and he said, okay, son, I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And there she appeared, descending, having the glory of God. These aren't just parallels. These aren't just things that are similar. This is the Lord speaking to you right now. Honeys, it's always been in here. This is what those prophets wanted to see. This is what those prophets wanted to understand what they were writing about. They knew me. Moses spoke to me face to face as a friend. I spoke to Abraham. David, I spoke to him as I gave him these psalms. I encouraged ones like sweet David and hit them with the Holy Ghost would come upon them. And oh, the power, how he would tear apart, run through a troop, leap over a wall, all of these different things. But there was something more in these scriptures. They knew it, but it wasn't for them to see into it, to peer into it. They would not have that vision of the enlightenment that I've given to you all. Again, if you want it, do you see the responsibility that's been given to us? Oh my goodness. We've been given so much, and to whom much is given, much, oh much, much is required. But see, this is so sweet because Gilead here means a place of witness. And what a testimony she has. She has gone to the high places. She has gone there all by grace to the place of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And brothers and sisters, we better know it. The only way that's going to be made, the only way that path is going to be walked is with hinds feet. You're going to be in places that are going to be perilous and completely scary to everybody else. And I'm talking even to Christians, especially to Christians, because they're going to say, well, my goodness, why would you suffer like that? My goodness, if that's what it entails, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Well, God help us to not be like a Demas. Demas turned to the popularity of the world, didn't he? Because he saw it was easier. He saw that, you know what, there's bigger crowds out there. My goodness, I can even naturally have a lot more friends running with that company. We don't just come in here and have a Bible study. Can you imagine that? Nobody would come. We'd only get maybe 50, maybe 5, maybe none. We might not even be able to afford a building to have it in. Praise be to God if that were the case. Praise be to God if he's given us a place. Amen? Oh, yes. Lord, increase our faith. We thank the Lord for it. Verse 2. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Now again, I have to have you just step back for 1 second. Why in the world would he write things like this if it wasn't all about the bride of Christ? Amen. There's no other answer. There's no other reason. There's no other encouragement that could be, except this is the revelation from what we understand in Paul's gospel. But as we read this, I think, boy, she must have a beautiful smile. I always remember, too, Brother Hill saying, no, she didn't smile at you and had snaggletooth. You know, had one missing here and one missing there. And no offense to anybody. There might be some hockey players out there, I don't know. But see, she had teeth that were evenly shorn. Perfect. Smooth is what this speaks of, sheep. And this speaks of her ability to feed, brothers and sisters. And this feeding is special because it's an exalted feeding, because it takes a high place because of the washing in the Word. And we know that this high place, we know that this special place is only those that will feed upon the strong meat. And not only is there not a tooth missing, but because of this exalted feeding, each one double. Again, the double, the twins, the repeating. We're going to have this emphasis again and again. But this twins of the teeth speak of a double portion feeding. I think of the double portion to God. She's a son, and yet she's also a daughter-in-law. Not only does she see it, it's her continual feeding. She is so ravished, praise God. He is so ravished. He tells her this again in chapter 6. These same verses are repeated once again by the bridegroom in chapter 6. Do you see how important it is for us to continue to feed, yea, on the deep things of Christ? Amen. Do you see how important it is to give the more earnest heed to the things which ye have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip? Do you see how important it is to truly say, Lord, I want more. I want more light upon light. I don't want to stop by the grace of God. Now again, this is all going to be him, but this is what ravishes his heart. She didn't just sit back and say, well, I'm just all beautiful. I'm just all that. No, there's a humbleness, there's a sweetness in this sister. And I thank God that there's always a continuing humility, that it's him. It's all about him. It's more of him. See, all of these qualities in her are him. Amen? This is the glory. There be no other glory but him. She's magnified because of him. She's all glorious within because it's him. She has light. It's her light. But it's him. What can we not understand about that? People say, oh my goodness, that's just too much. You mean you're really going to think that he's going to have them bow down and worship you? You know it, because it's him. Him. Just like old John, he was the one that laid his head right there on Jesus' breast. The disciple that he loved. Amen? But yet there he was going around heaven. As he was taken up there, he kept bowing down to the one that was taking him around. Why? Because it was him, like him. So like him, not just like him, that life in him was just so transparent that John thought he was just walking around with Jesus. Oh, I got to worship you. Stop that, John. Just like you, honey. Just grow up into it. Hallelujah. Doesn't it make you happy in the Lord that you know this? Oh, it makes your heart sing. Now, verse 3 goes on and talks about her lips. The lips are like a thread of scarlet. Now, this is so sweet because it brings the remembrance of Rahab. Do you remember the thread of the red thread that she put out from the window? As we studied not too long ago, if you recall, the window is the place where you'll see the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The window is the place where the lovers are seen. And so sweetly, in the window, that was seen as the place of escape from destruction. Praise God. Isn't that really one of the visions that we see in the vision of the lovers? Aren't we, by God's grace, if we attain to the bride of Christ, if we are raptured together with him in the air, will we not escape that destruction? Amen. See all the types and shadows. They're all over here. And that's why this place of the window is so wonderful. The bride is caught away before the destruction of the tribulation. The scarlet speaks of the blood. And oh, what an inheritance it brought for Rahab. Again, I take you back to the Holy of Holies because we're right here. See, again, this is Solomon. He was the one that built the temple. He was the one that had them all ordered. I was going in 1 Kings 7 and 8 and just reading all that again. You need to get back in there and read that stuff because it'll become more alive to you. We're going to read about here in a minute about Solomon's house and then what he built there in his own house. And then Solomon finishing the temple of the Lord and how wonderful it was from there, because right after that had happened, that's when they were going in there to dedicate that, and there went the priests in there to offer it all up, and the smoke got so intense in there in the Holy of Holies because of the Lord and that cherubim in there that the priests had to get out of there because it was just too hot. How wonderful. God help you to be romantic, because it's all there if you want it. He is the lover of lovers. But see, those cherubim had a vision of one place, and it was on the blood of the mercy seat. It was that one piece of beaten gold, the mercy seat again, the lid, the top of the Ark of the Covenant. It was the cover of that ark. And that cover went from a mercy seat, and then here sprouted up the two cherubim whose wings touched as they covered the top. And it was so wonderful that their gaze wasn't looking at one another. Their gaze wasn't even up. Their gaze was right there at mercy, 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 and the blood that where all the mercy flows from. Thanks be to God. How wonderful and encouraging that is to us, brothers and sisters. Just like last Sunday, I thank God I'm not ashamed in the gospel of Christ. That's mercy. Amen? Praise the Lord for it. But if you'll go with me a little bit on the thought of Rahab, if you know the story, Rahab became the wife of Salmon. It was her husband, and the child that they bore was Boaz. And if you know the story about Boaz, he was the kinsman. He was the redeemer, if you will, for Ruth. How sweet. And this is kind of getting now almost tipping my hat a little bit for Sunday. Rahab just didn't make it into the family. I'll tell you what, Rahab reigned. She was brought right into the vein from a prostitute to the fruit coming forth of the Redeemer. She didn't get in line for anybody, did she? She came right in and sat in the front row, made everybody else mad. I'm sure there were a lot of people that were pretty chapped. Well, come on, Salmon. Couldn't you find somebody else to have instead of her? Oh, no. That's God's choice. That's God's choice. That's grace. I'm going to show you what I'm going to do with that. And oh, what came forth. Praise be to God. How wondrous. Kind reminds you of Mary. And again, that one, the bitter one, that rebellious one, who gave birth to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So much here. We'll have time to talk. Well, he'll tell us about it someday. But her speech is comely, and this magnifies the abundance of her heart that's filled with the love of God. The virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, it says, her tongue is the law of kindness. Isn't that something? I thank God for that. And we need to really pray for that more and more. Quick to hear, slow to speak. Amen. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what a check it is for all of us. And I thank God that I grew up so many times hearing that from my sweet mom. Now, honey, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How true. It's how it sounds off. And thanks be to God again for his continued witness to us. The temples here, as it goes on to say in verse 3, that thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within the locks. Well, The temples here mean the seat of the mind, where the mind is sitting. And this speaks of a mind that is settled. It's a mind that is stayed upon Him. It's a mind of peace. It's a mind of rest. It's a mind that is ceased from their own works and entered into the rest of God. Amen? It's a mind that's just looking at the mercy seat. Praise God. It's a mind that understands, because it's the very mind of Christ, that, you know what? I'm His workmanship. Hallelujah. I'm that sweet little lump of clay, and He's doing it all. Praise be to God. It's a mind that's not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. It's the mind of Christ that just meditates on the Word of God. The Word rightfully divided. That praise, Lord, I want to have even more encouragement in my heart to hear this. And then, this is really sweet here, and like a piece of pomegranate. Yes, it means fruitful. Her mind is settled on the fruit, but it's even more than that. These pomegranates, if, as I mentioned, you go back to 1 Kings chapter 7, this is talking about when Solomon was building his own house. There were caps that were put on the pillars. So they had these pillars that were in the house, and there were these caps that were put on the pillars. And on that cap on the pillar basically speaks of a crown. Know how he says about the Church of Philadelphia, I'll make you pillars in the house of the Lord. Well, this crown that was placed upon each one of the pillars was decorated and ornated with pomegranates. And this speaks of the crowning, brothers and sisters, is that her mind, it's settled because it's settled on the crown. It's settled on, as Paul says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. It's a mind that's settled that's my whole calling for life. That's my quest. That is my purpose. He has given me this. It's the only thing. The aristocracy of forever. He has made this known to you, His very love, that He wants you to sit His queen. That you were made for one thing, for reigning. You were born a little Lord of all. Do you get it? That's what you were made for. You weren't made as a little Lord of all to have a palm in your hand to wave it. Little Lords of all are not there to be servants. They're there to reign. They're there to rule. I thank God that, again, the simplicity of the gospel of Christ, as these line upon line just keep adding up, there's nothing that can stand against it, is there? That's why I say these ones will try to come in and try to poke holes and to do these types of things. I'm not there to argue, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to rely on that Holy Ghost, because I'll tell you what, He wields that sharper than any two-edged sword, and He cuts them to pieces. And I'm finding out most of the time He just has to hold it there, and they cut themselves to pieces. It's the truth. So we thank God for this. But once again, though, about this crown that's on these pillars, the pomegranate, speaks of the crowning. Thank the Lord for this. But once again, where is it? It's behind the locks. So here we have it again. The locks, again, speaking of beyond the veil, beyond the veil. And you think about beyond the veil again into that Holy of Holies, that most intimate place. But think about the veil that's over the bride, the wife. It's beyond that. It's her. Hallelujah. This is her meditation. She knows what she is to Him, what she's been built for. She's a vessel to the praise and the glory of His grace. Praise God for this. We need to pay attention when the Lord brings things up again and again. And I'll tell you what, one of the main things He brings up again and again are these locks in the bedroom. He is always mining and encouraging us for the fellowship, yea, and the deep things of God. I'd like you just to turn for 1 second. We have a couple minutes. 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 51, since I mentioned this. I want you to see, after the work was ended in Solomon's house, after he had finished building his house, listen to what he brings into this house. This is what this house was for. Now again, this wasn't the tabernacle. This wasn't the temple. This was Solomon's house. This was his personal dwelling. So has ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. Again, this speaking of his house. And Solomon brought in the things which David, his father, had dedicated. Even the silver and the gold and the vessels did he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. And I think about the gold, silver, and precious stone that the Lord talks about in our life. The treasures that are set apart to him. The vessel that's only, again, for the master's use. And I praise the Lord how this all fits together. Because again, we're speaking, we're reading here of the Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs. This was the one that was encouraged to write this section of truth of such depth love, of the depth of the love of God. Now let's go on back to the Song of Solomon. We'll get into verse 4. And it says there, "Thy neck is like a tower of David builded for an armory, wherein there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men." Now the neck, as you can perceive, speaks of strength, support. It speaks of a place of looking out. It speaks of a watchful place. So much in that, brothers and sisters, the ones that are loving and looking for his appearing. But the Tower of David builded for an armory. We have something very specific here. And there was something very special about where this Tower of David was built on the city. The Tower of David was built on the weakest point of the city. Think about that. The weakest point of the city was where this tower was built. The weakest point was where she is built. Because she's the one that learns to glory in her infirmities. That's where he's magnified. That's where his strength is totally supplied. Amen? That's where I'm only found in his righteousness. Praise God. See, he didn't have to look for the strongest point to put the tower. He looked for the weakest point to put the tower. And I think how, again, the line upon line. And this word armory, it means constructed for weapons of warfare. See, this is who she is. She's not only a lover, but she's a warrior. She's a fighter. Hallelujah. This is why she fights the good fight of faith. She's no pushover. She's not just a warrior for herself either. That tower of David was there to help protect the people. It was a watchful tower. This woman, she has a father-like spirit. What a fulfillment this is in the meaning of the word vessel. She adds to the usefulness of the husband. This is exactly who she is. And she is watchful. And I thank God for this. As the virtuous woman, it says about her, she looks to the ways of her household. Praise the Lord. I thank God, the joints of the body in this little place. We supply one another, don't we? Amen. And every single one of us, praise be to God. Essential, vital, vital in the house of the Lord. I thank God how he brought in all of the different ones that would build that tabernacle. Whether it was the ones of iron, the ones that worked the wood, the ones that did the tapestry, the ones that would go gather, all of those different things. Without every single one of them, it would not be complete. And that's how that rib portion is. And that's why it's so important for us to really receive this. As Paul encourages, that your love toward one another would grow more and more. The appreciation, the thanksgiving to God. That's, brothers and sisters, again, back to them that love his appearing. That love his appearing. You're not going to hole yourself up in a house when you can gather with saints of like precious faith and claim truly that you love his appearing. When you love his appearing, you want to gather together. You want to be among people that love the Lord. You want to be among Bible studies and prayer meetings and such like. I'm speaking to ones. Praise be to God. And again, it's not to shine you, and you know that. It's just to cause your heart to even give God more thanks. Lord, I didn't even know all these things that you're doing. Well, praise the Lord. I don't have to know it all. All I have to do is know he loves me. I don't have to understand every reason why. I just understand that he loves me. Praise God. I know it's all for a perfect purpose in my life, that he's drawing us in to win his very best. Praise his name. But what a fulfillment she is as she is presented again, that one that's adding to the usefulness of her husband. And then on the neck hang, as it says there in verse 4, on the neck there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Kind of mind you, David, as he killed his 10,000s. And it speaks of the battles won, the rewards, the spoils of the victory over the mighty opponents. This is the winner by grace. I have fought a good fight. This is the winner by grace. I have finished my course. And brothers and sisters, this victory is over every foe, every time, because of one reason: by faith. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And I'll tell you what, it's faith the size of the seed of a mustard seed. Huh? This isn't faith that's paraded around. This is just the little faith. This is the faith like that precious soldier that Jesus said, man, in all Jerusalem, I've never seen such great faith. He wasn't trying to expose his faith. He wasn't trying to make known how great and good and awesome he believed God. He said, oh, you just say it and you're busy. I don't want to bother you. I just thank God that you're I am. And you said it and it's good enough for me. We don't have to go parading around. You don't even have to come on over. I know it's done. Is that how we take the word of God for ourselves? God help us, amen. This is what he's encouraging her here. Honey, you're beautiful. You're altogether lovely to me. Just like I am to you. You have it all. Perfect. Stunning. Ravishing. Trust my grace. Esther, take only what the keeper of the women will give you. Don't take anything else. But don't leave out a thing. Take it all. And you'll be ready to be presented to the king. And you think about her in a lot of ways. Well, she kind of knew why she could get presented to the king, but she was going there for all different purposes, wasn't she? Oh, I just got to save the people. What? What'd you say? What's mine is yours. Even the decision making. Go ahead. What'd you say? You're just totally stunning to me. Praise God. Let's finish up verse 5, and we'll catch up 6 and 7 next week, God willing. It says there, thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Well, there we go with the double portion again. Thanking the Lord for this. But the breasts here speak of full maturity, but also full maturity and fruitfulness. You'll notice that these breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Go back to that young roe heart of him, speaking again of those young gazelles of age, those ones that would fight basically in for the right to marry. Amen. They wanted that one to breed with, or things of that nature. And this again speaks of that spirit in her that is this youthful love, this passion that is spoken of here. It's not just one that's no offense here, and in a sense that's old that's pictured, but mature and of age to be fruitful, to produce. Thanks be to God. But once again, this vessel, adding to the usefulness of the husband, because this one is fruitful, she is able to nurture and feed others. But again, it doesn't just end there. It's far more descriptive because the two young roes are twins. There's a vigorness. There's a vigor, I should say, a fruitfulness, a fervent love, a double portion, if you will, of fullness. Go on again a couple more times. He'll talk about her breasts. She finally recognizes and says later on as it ends, my breasts are like towers. She realizes what grace has caused her to be. what the word of his grace has caused the fruitfulness in her life to become. Now, closing here, where it says about the lilies, which feed among the lilies, remember that the lilies speak of the glorious whiteness. It speaks of the bridal gown. It also speaks of the lily among thorns. It also speaks of the lily in the valley. I thank God for this, brothers and sisters, because he tells her how beautiful she is. And he has told her here tonight, honey, you're altogether lovely to me. This was, again, following what he had told her last week, which was, I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to take you away. But you'll notice when we get back here again next week, if the Lord tarry, he says, until the day break, he brings her right back to that point. Until that day, doll. Until that time. And matter of fact, that day break means until the blast. It really does. It means until the blast. And there's going to be a blast. And he's telling you that tonight, okay? He's told you how beautiful you are to him tonight. You know that. He tells you that moment by moment. It's okay to let that hair stand up on your arms and in your neck and to say, thank you, Lord. And he'll tell you again before he tells you how beautiful you are and just after, until that day, until the blast of that trumpet. I'm meditating on it too, honey. I've been asking the Father here for quite some time, can I go get her? Can I go get her? But see that rib portion, she's not fully ready yet. Till we all come, amen? That's why we want to be, by his grace, enter into that. That we be ones like her that truly feed and feed one another. And that's done in a lot of different ways, isn't it? Amen? Cold cups of water aren't much to a lot of people, but they're everything to the people of God. And it comes in the most small, kind of almost unknown, overlooked ways, just like that little widow's mite. It meant more to him than all that was going on. Just like Mary at his feet. That better place meant more to him, and he was captivated than all that was going on. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.